good evening. This is KTBAR. My name is Gordon. My call is W2-Tango-Tango-Tango. And the purpose of this net is to discuss technical topics in any area related to amateur radio. We have a wonderful hobby, many diverse aspects to it, and we would hope that you'd like to discuss it with others. And, you know, whether it's something that, you know something about and want to generate some excitement for, or whether you have a question, or maybe just a simple thing like a term that bothers you. Who knows? There's all sorts of things that are wonderful about amateur radio, and we can explore them together. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association to check into the net. Anyone is welcome, as long as you're a licensed radio amateur of technician class or higher. And what else can I tell you? Well, I think that's about it for the moment. This net is courtesy of the generosity, if you will, of the Bergen County FM Association, and we encourage members of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association to support the repeater club as well. And we thank them for their hospitality and use of the repeater for this net and also the 10-meter net on Wednesdays, probably the 2-meter net on Wednesdays and the 440 net on 443-100 on Tuesdays, both at 9 o'clock. And of course, we thank no one other than the grace of God and the FCC, et cetera, for the use of the 28.350 on Monday nights at 9 o'clock as well. We encourage you to join us for those nets as well. So, any stations wishing to check in with or without a question, please call K2EAR with your call and name and whether or not you have a question or comment.
K2EAR, this is Kilo Oscar 2 Whiskey, Billy down at Old Bridge, checking in, and I have a question, Gordon.
Good evening, Billy. I know that you have a question. Real quick, what's the topic?
It's an HF problem I have on 10 meters with my tri-band beam on top of the tower.
Okay, well, we'll get to it. No problem. Thank you very much, Billy. And anyone else for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net, please call K2BAR with your call, your name, and whether or not you have a question, statement, or nothing.
This is NJ1W, Dave, no question.
NJ1W, thank you very much, Dave. Anybody else?
This is KO2OK, Bennett.
No question now.
Good evening, Bennett, KO2OK, K2BAR. Anybody else? This is K2Bravo, Alpha Romeo for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. Anybody wish to check in, please call K2BAR. Okay. Well, just a couple of other introductory comments here. We have an upcoming Hamfest on Saturday. I don't know exactly what time doors open, but I want to say it's around 8 in the morning, but, you know, people are in the flea market around 7 in the morning. I think you can... When Jim gets here around 5, there's usually a crowd in the parking lot getting ready to set up. So that's always exciting as well. So I'm sure you'd be most welcome. Generally wraps up around midday. There'll be test sessions, and there's both indoor and outdoor space. So if you have trouble with being outdoors for too long and you need to get out of the sun or out of the rain, we're not going to have rain this time. Isn't that nice? But if you want to get out of the sun, take a break, you're more than welcome to do that. And I believe also we have a... breakfast sandwiches and also burgers and dogs courtesy of the Turnalong Club, who comes and takes care of that for us as well. There will be a club table, so if you have stuff you want to sell but not enough to justify a table, you're welcome if you're a member to put your stuff on the club table. You can see K2AMI about that. and both K2AMI and K2ZO, Tony and Jim, are looking for able-bodied volunteers for the period of the Hamfest. So if you can just spare an hour just to do one function or another, that'd be really great. And of course, W2JEK is running a test session, which is excellent, with his fantastic team. So, any further check-ins to the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net, please call K2BAR. Well, I think we're going to get to your question, Mr. Bill. KO2W. Boy, we haven't had the station. I think you said you were in Old Bridge. Good hearing you. So, what is your question regarding your 10-meter problem with a tribander, I think it's Triband Yagi? What is your dilemma, sir?
Okay, well, very good. It's a Mosley Mini 33. It's on top of a Rhone 25 tower that's up to 35 feet from the base from the antenna down. It's just under the roof line, going over the edge of the roof line. Now, it's back and bolted to the side of the house, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ground rods on it, and they're all, I guess, piggybacked to the tower. They just say one to the next, and the next, and the next, into the tower. And when I trip in on 10 meters, okay, and I face the antenna, and if my wife's in the master bedroom, I get all up into the house, and I know that I'm transmitting because I shut off her hair dryer when she's drying her hair. And I tried to shield it and everything, and I just don't know what's wrong.
Okay, let me make sure I understand this. The antenna barely clears the roof line, or maybe doesn't. And on 10 meters, when you transmit, your wife's hair dryer turns off. Now, is this one of those hair dryers where she steps underneath it, or is this something that's handheld, like a blow dryer?
Okay, it's handheld. And just to give you a picture of this, the antenna tower goes up past the side of the house. It's about 20 inches across. It first thing starts in the tower, it's about 20 inches off the side of the house. So it has to be running. And where it goes up past the second floor between two bathroom windows. And the plug that she plugs in her handheld hair dryer is a GFI plug that does not include New York State. So she's on and she's like drying her hair, and I transmit on 10 meters because the antenna does not clear the roof line. If I transmit even at low power, say 50 watts, okay? Well, it's not low power, but 50 watts looks like, not 400. What it does is it trips her hair dryer or shuts off. Now, I don't know if the RF is getting into the hair dryer or the RF is getting into the GFI plug and shutting the plug down. I don't know if the plug is sensing some type of voltage or whatever. I'm going to try to raise the tower. I have another 10-foot section. I just need a hand to put it up. But I have a brand new RG213, and it's a direct stud right down into the shack. And I have it, I have 6 turns around right now, about a 6-inch diameter at the top. It's direct stud to the Mosley.
I think I understand your problem. I think your issue is very simply RF getting into the GFI. There are a couple of ways you can handle that. You can go look it up on the web. In fact, I'll do that now myself. Look on the web for possible issues with GFIs and RFI. I think maybe a simple Google search for GFI RFI will be probably sufficient. Let's see what happens when I do that. And shucks, contesting.com has something on it. I think if you simply just do a Google search on GFI space RFI, I think you're going to get plenty of answers to that. You know, anytime you're close by a device like that, you're going to trip it. It probably has nothing to do with a hairdryer as much as the GFI. I can also tell you that I have here a gas-fired heater air conditioner on the third floor of our house. by the way, is being turned on as an air conditioner for the first time today. And lo and behold, when I transmit on many a band, mostly 10 meters, sometimes 40, certainly 20 and 6, after a few minutes, it trips. And, you know, because it's hardwired to the rest of the system, it causes a problem. So when I operate, I pull it off the ceiling, disconnect it from the system, and you know, pull the battery out of it and put it on the desk. And when I'm done, I put the battery back in and connect it back up, and causing a modest amount of chaos. And I do that because it activates the whole thing. But if I reactivate it standalone, it doesn't trip the whole system, and once it resets, then I plug it into the rest of the system, everything's happy. So, you know, my guess is you might have a grounding problem just reading through some of the stuff, but it's the GFI itself.
Okay, very good. We're looking online and reading some of the things that you said. Well, next question to that. If that is happening in the GFI, if I get above the roof line, I wonder if I had a problem. But what's crazy about it, Gordon, is I'm 20 meters on the same antenna, and I'm 15, and it's a tri-band. Not a problem. Just on 10.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, and it's referenced here, WA3GIN, Dave, who's a well-known operator, he suggests installing a .01 mic cap from the hot to the neutral at the GFI socket itself. That might be enough to just shunt off your stray RF, especially since it's band-dependent. I think you might be in good shape there. So what I would do is get yourself like a, you know, 500-volt or 400-volt 0.01 mic capacitor, you know, just a disc cap, and hook it up across the hot to the neutral, okay?
Okay, I'm going to get down there. I'm going to try that. And that's on that contesting site you said, David, right?
Yeah, I'm sure if you add, you know, to the search string, GFI space RFI space WA3 Golf India November, I think you'll find his comments on contesting.com about this.
W2AKR repeater.
Gordon, and we'll turn it back to that. K2BAR, KOTW.
Yeah, and by the way, it could not hurt to put another 10 feet between your antenna and your RF problem. Very fine. KO2W, glad to be helpful. I'm going to hand it off to Dave at this point to see if he has any comments or questions or confusion. NJ1W, W2, probably K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is NJ1W. No, I really don't have anything. That's very interesting about the GFI problem. I know they can be rather sensitive, but I used to do have a TV repair business, and I know I ran into GFI problems with TVs. That's even I don't recall what one was, but I don't remember one kept tripping for somebody, and I don't remember what I did to resolve the problem. But I know that can be a headache sometimes. Yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm going to try to get down to the ham fest around 5:30. I guess Saturday morning. I'm going to give a hand for a few hours. I can't stay too long because I think I have some ball games to go to with for the grandchildren. And I guess that's about it. I do have a question. I'm new to HF. I've only been using HF for about 2 years now. I've built a K2 Elecraft, and I'm active mostly on PSK, RIDI, and CW to a lesser degree, because I'm still trying to get some speed up. But recently I've been getting onto sideband, because I finally bought a decent mic and headset, the one that's recommended by Hellocraft, made by Heil. And just getting on to the spy stand, let me, I don't know how long I've been on, I don't want to time this out. And just getting into sideband again, I'm mainly 40 meters and 20 meters. Is there a rule of thumb about whether you use upper sideband or lower sideband on certain bands or what? I seem to notice on 20 meters, most of the foreign or DX stations are on upper sideband and a lot of the locals are on lower sideband. I don't know what the norm is or if there is even a norm. So if someone can give me a hand with that. K2PAR, this is NJ1W.
Yeah, okay, NJ1W, K2BAR. Yeah, there is a norm, and I can actually give you some explanation as to why you find variations of that norm. Number one, on 160 meters, on 80 meters, or 75 meters, if you will, and 40 meters, the convention is lower sideband. So the bottom three bands, 160, 80, or if you will, 75, and 40, it's lower sideband. On every other amateur band, if you will, 20 meters and up, because there is no phone privileges on, there are no phone privileges on 30 meters, the convention is to use upper sideband. Now, having said that, and that by the way goes right through the microwave range at that point, why do you find variations? On 40 meters in particular, sometimes 75, you will find variations because there are military radios that are surplus that only operate upper sideband. So guess what? Those guys operate only upper sideband. Occasionally you will find folks on 20 meters and above on lower sideband, either because, again, they have equipment that is only geared for lower sideband, or they just decide to be different. And there's guys like that all the time. You know, like, you know, other than the guys who are trying to make some sort of audiophile statement because of the, you know, inherent pleasantries of tube radios operating AM, they are acoustically very charming. You know, why do guys operate AM? Because they feel like it, in a word. So I hope that helps. So the next, well, let me just drop it for a second and see if you have any more, and then I'll give you a second piece of that. Okay. The reason why you might ask, do amateur radio operators do that? Okay, it has to do with how we originally generated single sideband. People would use, let's say, either phasing modulators or brute force filter type SSB circuits at 9 megahertz. And they would take that 9 megahertz circuit and they would add to it 5 megahertz of local oscillator, and they would tune the 5 megahertz local oscillator to go from 14 megahertz to 14.5, which I believe is the 20 meter band. Well, actually it was up to 16 megahertz at one point, but to 14.5, and then later became 14.350. the top of the 20 meter band now. And so you would sum the IF modulated signal at 9 megahertz and the 5 megahertz offset, and away you'd go onto 20 meters. Similarly, you would subtract 5 megahertz from your 9 megahertz signal to go from 4 megahertz down to 3.5. So that gave you a negative product, or a negative sum, if you will, and as such inverted the sideband. So what started out as an upper sideband on 9 megahertz, and when you add 5 megahertz, would put you on 20 megahertz, or probably 20 meters, upper sideband. If you subtracted 5 megahertz or so, 5.5, up to 5.5, that would yield a lower sideband signal. You'll see similar things with inverted transponders on satellites as well. So hopefully that helped you a bit. That's the technical reason as to why 20 and 75 meters have inverted sideband utilization. because they reused the same circuitry and just looked, filtered for different products, or different mixing products, if you will, to come up with the output. That's how you go on 20 and 40, I mean 20 and 75, with essentially the same equipment. NJ1W, hopefully that helps you. T2BAR.
Okay, to BAR, this is NJ1W. Yes, very much so. I thought there was an explanation, and I think I even read it somewhere. I just didn't know where I read it and what to go back to look for. I typed in something on Google, and I never got a good response from Google. So that answers my question. Very good. Thank you very much, Gordon. And I don't think I can stick around for a second go-around or anything. I got some chores I got to take care of, garbage and stuff that has to go out and recycle. Thanks a lot, and hope to see you at the Hamfest. K2VAR, this is NJ1W. We'll be clear.
Okay, Oak, well, I'm going to ask Bennett for anything that he might want to say. Check for more check-ins, and then we're going to go on to a what's new from Dayton kind of thing. By the way, Dave, I've been meaning to ask you, maybe at some point you'd like to, go over your very cool HF rig and how you built it. You know, I know you did a presentation at the club about it, but we perhaps could also follow along kind of with some, you know, maybe a URL or two from the web and have you describe what we're reading at the same time in more florid terms and talk about this and that. That's what we're going to do with the IC7700, the new rig that ICOM has announced but not yet released. I'm going to use a Pro 3 as a basis of comparison for that discussion, just to give people some idea of what's what. In any case, hopefully you'll be able to do that for us sometime in the future, okay? NJ1W, K2BAR.
Yeah, okay, Gordon. Just give me plenty of advance notice when you're going to want that. I can't retain anything anymore as far as my memory goes, so I have to have everything down and writing in front of me, and I'll have to dig out my owner's manual and everything else and the assembly manual, and there's plenty of pictures and stuff I can get off the web, so let me know when do you want to do this, like during a test net or at a meeting or what?
Oh, absolutely, during a tech net. So, you know, all you have to do is assemble the URLs that you want to discuss and send them, email them to me, and away we'll go. You know, just to give some people an idea of what the radio looks like front and back, what it looks like inside, you know, some of the construction things you can point out, well, if you look over here, blah, 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 this was not exactly the way they explained it, or this was a really cool feature, and here's where it's located in the radio, and here's what you do with it, blah, blah, you know, those kinds of things. You know, should we say, even though it wouldn't be longer necessarily, perhaps in some ways more detailed than in some aspects or another. And the answer to your question is, whenever you're ready, we'd be more than happy to entertain that.
Okay, K2PAR, this is NJ1W. Right now, I'm spending more time on the golf course than I am playing radio, so this might be after golf season, or, you know, when the weather cools down a bit. So, okay, Gordon, I'll be glad to do that. There's plenty of information on the web, a lot of diagrams and pictures and everything else, so I'll be glad to do that. Of course, I'm proud of this little rig. It was fun to build, and it certainly is worthwhile doing, because you really learn how everything goes together and what it's supposed to be doing, and it worked first thing. I think I made one mistake. I wound the transformer and put it in backwards, but just going back over the circuitry, I found it fast enough, and once that was installed correctly, everything worked great. But okay, I gotta run. I got a few tours I gotta do, so we'll be talking to you, and I won't be hanging around right now for a second goal. I don't know if you had one. K2BAR, this is NJ1W. We'll be clear.
K35, thank you very much, Dave. Godspeed. We'll look forward to hearing. We'll see you hopefully on Saturday. It plus or minus the sports schedule. And if not, we'll see you maybe over in Carolina on Monday or certainly next week on Thursday. NJ1W signed, KO2 okay. Mr. Bennett, would you like to make any comments, questions, or confusions before I ask for the roll?
K2BAR, KO2 okay. Hi, Gordon. Interesting topics with Billy. I am right now, and I wonder if he's on the same circuit, electrical circuit, as the hairdryer. And if it is in the GFI within the hairdryer cord, if he moved to another part of the house on a different electric line, would it be the same issue? Curious. And I don't know if I like your solution for the problem you have for RFI in your house. I think my wife would kill me. Because if my wife, I don't think she uses a hairdryer these days, but if I knocked out her hairdryer, if I interfered with whatever she was doing, boy, I'd catch hell. On an ongoing basis, I wouldn't be on the radio too much. But interesting topic. I still just have the problem with my neighbor next door on 6 meters and coming through their telephone, and I can't seem to completely rid it. I've gotten rid of the sound coming over the phone line in most cases, especially if I'm not pointing at their house and I'm not running a kilowatt. But I've got one case where I can put my radio on sequence, or I should say a repeating message, and go over to the house, and I can pull the phone off the wall, and I can still hear myself on the wall plate. Think of that. Check the connection. Seems to be good. I don't know what's modulating. I don't know what's going on. Something's rectifying somewhere, but I took the phone off the wall, you know, it just clips on the wall. I still hear myself through the wall plate. I must be hearing myself somewhere else, but I swear it's coming out of the wall plate. I'd be curious to hear Dave's discussion of the Allograph K2 construction, whether or not it was straightforward, not for beginners. I was going to ask about, you know, winding coils, was it difficult, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'd be curious to know how well Allograph does that for construction purposes. And it might get more people interested or not be as... scared of building something on that, to that degree or that expensive kit and then possibly not have it work right. But I have no real questions tonight. Look forward to the Hampton. And that's about it. Hopefully I haven't timed out. So back to Ness, KO2, okay.
Yeah, I think I would have some domestic discord if I was causing that kind of thing myself. However, my wife being a ham is... certainly an advantage, to say the least. She understands these things. One, I guess, Billy, if you're still there, have you tried to address this? You know, in other words, can you try another device in the GFI other than the hairdryer, and will that cause it to drop? Something with about the same length of at least cord. I'm thinking the motor windings may be an issue as well, but let's just avoid that for a moment. Is it possible that that you could plug in something inert, like a lamp, like an incandescent lamp? Are we allowed to still have incandescent lamps? I have to check with Al Gore. Anyway, the point is, can I take an incandescent lamp and have the same, you know, dropout effect when transmitting on 10 meters, KO2W, K2BAR.
K2BAR, KO2W. No, I haven't tried that. We have to do that. We got rid of one lamp that was in the bedroom. It was a touch lamp, and I was turning that on even on 2 meters. But, no, we didn't try that. And, needless to say, I don't play too much ham radio because it did happen a couple times, and I had a lot of health to play because he's not a ham. I almost became ham and eggs that day when it happened, because she was going someplace rather important. But other than that, we're going to try something else, because, you know, if the GFI, like, you know, is working, it's supposed to send the voltage shut down, if it's the house one, okay, then it's working correctly. But the GFI that she's plugging in, the air dryer handheld one, also has a GFI trip. I was wondering if the two of them, it could possibly be that. And to answer Dennis' question, it's on a different circuit in the house. I had thought that too, and I tried a different circuit. And I was even going to go as far as put a car battery here and try off battery power and to rule out house wiring altogether, just see if battery power, other than the AC current, if it was coming through the wires of the house. I haven't tried that yet. I'm really itching to raise it another 10 feet. So I got another section here. Just got to get a couple guys to give me a hand. But so we will try another way, Tigger. It's a good idea. K2BAR, KO2W.
Okay, very good, Billy. That's fine. Any other check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet before we go on to our what happened, or what's new from Dayton segment of this, this net? This is K2BAR. Please call. Or not. I'm just wondering. Oh, are the Yankees playing? Yankees are playing. Oh, no, the Yankees are off. Yeah. Go figure. I don't watch baseball. There's no sports until Monday night when the Senators play the Ducks. Go Sens, go. Shoot the Ducks. Anyway. All right. Moving right along from that topic. Just last Thursday was announced a new radio from ICOM. It will be available probably in Asia and Europe, probably September-October time frame, and here in North America in December or so. That's what I'm hearing. It's called the IC7700, and it's very cool radio. It's a very cool radio. It has some clear performance advantages over a 756 Pro 3. And we'll discuss that in a bit. But it has some competition. There's the new K3, which we can talk about another time. That seems to be an interesting device in itself. I'd love to see the head-to-head comparison to that. These radios that are coming out, well, the K3 is about a comparable in price anyway to a Pro 3, maybe a little less, maybe a little bit more. The 7700 is rumored to be in the $5,000 to $6,000 range. So we're talking about a contester's radio. Definitely talking about a high-end contester's radio. We all thought that Pro 3s were adequate for contests. Well, apparently the performance gauntlet has been raised. Let's try it this way. A Pro 3 has a minus 30 dBm third intercept measurement. The 7700 is rumored, again rumored, to have a minus 40 dBm rating. Wow, 10 dB more. So when somebody snuggles up next to your signal, or next to your frequency, you'll be able to withstand their rebuke, if you will, without having your front end roll up and die. So that's pretty cool. It's got dual DSPs. It kind of looks like a busier version of a Pro 3 or a Pro 2 or even a Pro, in case you're wondering. So that in itself is pretty cool. And that minus 40 dBm ultra-high intercept point is just amazing to me. And the dual floating point unit is pretty cool. One floating point unit, and they're 32-bit, by the way, just like the Pro 3. One is for the receiver transmitter, and the other one is dedicated to the spectrum scope, which is, again, pretty cool. It has a tracking preselector, which I think will be another interesting feature, right behind the bandpass filter, which should also help. My guess is that's part of how they get that really cool intercept point measurement. It also has 200 watts out at full duty cycle. And I believe it's an AC-only radio. I don't believe it runs on 12 volts. I think that's one thing that it does not have. The other thing it does not have is a dual watch capability. However, you can slave another ICOM radio to it, such as a Pro 3, as a second, if you will, spotting receiver or something else, if you want to do hunting pounds and their search and pounds, and a run station, you could use the effective front end of this radio and drive it into a second receiver. The other thing this thing has, which is different than the 7800, is that it has USB ports on the front, one for memory and one for a keyboard. So it is fully enabled that you can manipulate the radio and also, I believe, send RIDI and PSK31 from an attached keyboard, and also I think RIDI and PSK31 without a PC, modulation and demodulation. So I think that's pretty cool too. So I'd be very curious as to what Jerry's read of that is. It does cover through 6 meters. It does have a digital voice recorder. My guess is it will have RIDI type memories like the Pro 3 does as well, they don't say. I'm going to suggest that everyone go to the following URL. Let me drop it.
NS2K.
NS2K, you're checked in. Do you have anything of immediate importance, Mr. Kim?
No importance. There should be, at least in a few people's inboxes, a link to the AB4 OJ's site, which also has links to other sites on the 7700. And also a link to ICOM's own Pro 3 brochure for discussion purposes.
Oh, excellent. You chimed in right at the right time. That's what I'm reading, actually. I went to the AB4OJ site. Let me give you that. www.alphabravo4oscarjuliet.com. And let me see if I can short-circuit that URL for anyone who might not have it fully. And there, if you look right on the on that front page, Adam's page has a URL that says, visit the ICOM page. Click on that. And then, I believe from there, he has a URL for 7700 right at the top, which can be clicked on. You'll say 7700 right at the top of that page. So AB4OJ Oscar Juliet, Alpha Bravo 4 Oscar Juliet.com /ICOM, and from there just click on the banner that says 7700 right at the top of the page, big letters. So I think everybody has that. I'll let everybody take a break.
N2OEL.
Hello, Noel. How are you?
Tony, Joe, and I just got out of the Red Cross Center in Hackensack.
Most excellent. Okay. We've been giving a bit of an overview on the 7700 and kind of putting rational reference points to the Pro 3. If you go to this page, it says the new ICOM 7700, announcing the contester's rig. The first thing I want to do is go down to figure 3, and it'll say, just double-click on figure 3, and I'm going to give you a quick tour of the back panel. The back panel's always cooler than the front panel of these radios, at least in my opinion. So I want to draw to your attention a couple of things that look very interesting for this 200-watt radio. Number one, and you can actually blow it up a little bit by clicking on the picture once you get it, plus minus, capability to make it a little bit bigger. You'll notice on the receive antenna, there's a in and out so that you can either have an antenna go in, or you can drive an external receiver, like I mentioned before, in case you want to have a second receiver available. The other BMC says exverter, that's for the transmitter, I assume. I don't think it's for the receiver and transmitter, but we'll find out. It might be a transceive port, but with low power. Next thing is, there's a 1 amp, 15 volt, you know, coaxial power plug. Very, very cool. I like that. There's a meter jack, which I'm assuming is going to be for, I don't know what it's going to be for. We're going to find it. There's also a room for external keypad, if you want to have a quick numeric keypad of some sort. External speaker, unusual accessory 1, accessory 2, the Vicom is made famous. A photo connector for relay, a photo connector for ALC. An ALC adjust, so you can adjust the range of the ALC to match your needs for your amplifier, with a simple pod on the back. And then there are 2 other jacks, which I don't know what they are. Maybe someone else wants to make a speculation. It says S/P diff, and then in and out. I don't recognize the connector. There's a CW King. There's an input for a 10 megahertz reference I/O for synchronizing frequency. And then on the next tier, there's kind of 4 antenna jacks, gentlemen. 4 antenna jacks. That's very cool. And then there's a few other ground lugs. I don't know what that is. I think that's a breaker next to AC plug. One thing I did notice, they're using a standard, you know, modern instrumentation plug on the back of the chassis, and I was surprised because I thought that maybe they'd be using the new European one with it, so a little more rounded pins, but apparently not. So there we go. Next to that is a power switch, and above it there's a external display for a standard PC monitor, a jack for a 100 base T connector for a local area network, normal remote jack for remote control from a PC, and an RS-232 input port to drive meters as well. So this thing is pretty well featured on the back panel. Lots of stuff. So any questions about the back panel that people will have, or any suggestions as to what that mystery pair of jacks are in the lower right?
Suggestion?
Please, suggestion go.
Are you referring to the little 2 square ones in between the ALC adjust and the CW key called SP diff? If I had to guess, or SP, okay, SIP? I wonder if that is, I wonder if those are optical, like the little Toshiba or one of the other optical standards.
W2AKR repeater.
I don't see anything that tells me this, which drives me nuts in case you're wondering. Pardon me, but I didn't even look at the pre-release brochure. Which, if you can scroll down on that page, there's a pre-release brochure there as well. And darn, it doesn't say, but yeah, I think that those look like caps or optical connectors. But I'll be darned, they make no reference to it. There's 2 USB ports, 1 for a memory drive, 1 for a keyboard. Taking a page Tentec with an optical interface. I think it's Yaesu has a rig with an optical interface. That is very, very cool because there's no noise, there's no ground loops. Everything is quiet going in and out. It's optical. Very cool. Okay, one other thing I noticed here is that the display, well, we'll get to the front. The display, if you've seen a Pro 3 or Pro 2 or a Pro, or have perhaps even the monochrome equivalent to 746, 746 Pro. Those are 5-inch displays, or 4.5-inch, there's a 56 series, 5-inch. And this display is 7 inches. So it's very much a similar layout to what's in the the Pro 3, where some of the knobs are made bigger, some of the knobs are, and buttons are made more useful and accessible. A few fewer soft keys, a few more soft keys as well. Some things are made soft, some things are more readily available on the front panel. And I encourage people to look at the front panel now, and you'll see very clearly, if you click on the figure one, I guess that would be, click on figure one on OJ's site, and click on it again once it fills out, and it'll magnify a little bit, and you'll see that, your box, your break-in, your monitor keys are no longer along the side of the monitor. They're up along the top front, and that's pretty cool. Tuner button's there. The timer button, I'm not sure what that's for. That's kind of interesting to me. You still have an electronic key in the front to complement the regular straight key jack in the back. Headphones, all the usual stuff. Very, very cool. And the audio and RF connector are concentric in there on the same, in that lower left position. I think that's very, very good. The general layout is reminiscent of a Pro 3, a Pro 2, or a Pro. And even of a 746, actually. Any other comments people want to draw conclusions to about the front panel of it? Okay, the one thing that I did notice about the front panel that's drastically different than a 56 Pro series receiver is that it has an analog S meter and power meter, ALC meter, all that good stuff. Except, if I'm reading it right, it's all soft. In other words, it's not a real meter movement. It's a graphical representation of a mechanical meter, which I think is very cool. I'm very curious to what its response is going to be like. I did also want to point out that it does not have dual watch. I mean, I use the dual watch on my 756 Pro 3, and that can be helpful. When you're listening to 60 meters and 6 meters, it's really helpful. So, I have them listening on different antennas usually. I don't know if that works well or not. I haven't come to a firm conclusion. I'm not sure. But neither here nor there, I usually use the 6-meter beam and hope I can hear something on 6 meters as well as 6, and that's how I use it at home. So anyway, unless I'm going to contest on a specific band, or just take it wherever I want to go. So, any other comments, questions, or confusions about this radio?
Good evening.
Okay. One other thing I did want to just recap on before we move on is that there is a K3 out there, which is priced more like a Pro 3. Looks like it's going to be quite a radio. It's going to be a while before all the parts are available for it. But some of the modules are going to be out later, like the antenna tuning unit and other things. But that promises to be an interesting radio. They've taken a different approach. They don't upconvert to 60 megahertz for the roofing filter, et cetera, for that first IF. They actually use a more traditional mechanism. And down convert, but they found a way to keep the images of birdies down to the roar, supposedly. So I'm looking forward to seeing the K3. So if anyone does some homework on the K3, maybe we'll have a discussion about that in future. The other thing I noted is Tokyo High Power and a couple other manufacturers all seem to have new amplifiers kicking around. that are just fantastic. Some are tubes, some are solid state, some are both, but they're in the 3/4 kilowatt, 1.5 kilowatt, 2.5 kilowatt range, and that has my attention. I saw that Tokyo High Power 50, you know, 1.5K amplifier that works on 6 meters and HF. I saw one down at HRO a few months ago, down in Delaware. Well, that's a sweet toy, to say the least. By the way, the knocking sound you heard is the internal messaging that we use at work. So across the room here, it's when someone logs in, they hit knocks, and when someone logs off, you get a swinging door, you get a squeaky hinge. It's pretty funny, actually. Anyway, I'll drop it at a time, and we'll see if anyone has any comments for future nets. This is KUBAR. Okay, very fine. I'm hearing two repeaters when I key up, just as an FYI. I'm using my 2-meter Yagi aimed west, and I'm hearing two repeaters. There's definitely a heterodyne under this repeater, so I'm wondering if both sites are up. But anyway, I'm hearing that I'm kicking a machine somewhere down the Delaware Valley, which means maybe somebody wants to float down 6 meters. I do have a question for Bennett if you're there. Bennett, how's your 6-meter amplifier coming along?
K2BAR, KO2OK. It's actually off the workbench at the moment. George, Engine GM, is going to help me diagnose some... I'm getting some noise somewhere. RF into the metering or something, because my metering is not right. If I have a longer lead to the grid meter, it measures very low grid current, which would be great if it's true. And if I make that wire shorter, I have an extremely high grid current, which is no good for the tube, and I don't know which one's correct. I've bench tested it and had on-air QSOs with a couple of people. Said it's a clean signal, but I want to make sure, because it is an expensive tube. I don't want to kill the tube. So I don't have it quite active at the moment. It's on the bench. George is away in Romania for a couple of weeks, I think. And when he's back, he has a Fluke scope meter, 100 megahertz Fluke scope meter that we're going to put on and try and trace down where this possible noise is coming from, because my grid trip circuit also doesn't work. It works on the bench outside the amplifier, but inside the amplifier, I can't get it to trip. And I don't know if it's because I actually have a low grid current or, again, noise coming into that circuit that's affecting its performance. So operationally, it is up and running, 80 watts in, 1,800 watts out, into a dummy load, of course. I had to buy a special dummy load just so I could run some tests for more than 30 seconds. I can't tend it and quite handle it too well anymore. But otherwise, I'm having fun. The whole idea was building something that wasn't going to be too complicated, like multi-band, input-output band switching and everything. And I was able to assemble some of the parts here that I had already and do things on the cheap. So there you go, Gordon, back to you. KO2, okay.
Very fine. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty decent, to say the least. You're making progress. And of course, you have the added cross the bar of a neighbor with, shall we say, an insulin telephone system. It almost sounds to me, but I was thinking about that a bit, it almost sounds like perhaps if there are no instruments on the line and you're hearing sound from the wall plate, which is very bizarre, I'm thinking that perhaps they have the old kind of lightning arrester. They're ceramic and you screw them. The wires are screwed into two brass lugs or nuts on brass lugs, and then all the magic is buried in the ceramic, to basically take care of the static discharge. Even where there's new interface units, on the sides of houses, very often the wires go into the house to one of those blocks, and they're still in place, and at this point they may be floating, which is part of the problem, and maybe having some rectification, you know, the corrosion from the air / bimetal junction that's forming the lightning arrestor might be the cause of the rectification. That might be something to think about too. I know for a fact, for instance, mine is still installed in the house. It's not giving me any grief, but it's still installed in the house. I never took it off. So when they put the NID on the outside, they just ran the wires in. They took the wires that were coming out, you know, threw them into the NID, took the NID to the pole, and that's that. They basically just inserted it in the line. So that's something to consider too. KO2OK, K2BAR.
Okay, Gordon, I need to do more tracing. They've let me in the house before, and I've actually installed telephone interference filtering at the entrance to the house from the phone line coming in the house, and tried, you know, inline telephone interference filters that I bought Dayton a couple of years ago, which did not do much there. Anyway, interesting conversation on the 7700. Like to learn more. I guess as it eventually becomes available late in the year or early next year, we'll see how it shakes out. Looks like an interesting radio. With that, I'm going to run. Good net, and good to hear Billy in there. I'll talk to you soon. W2TTT, KO2, okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Bennett. Just an FYI, if you have the filters, you know where it comes in, you have the filters at the telephone, that unfortunately may not be enough because, again, the house wiring could be your antenna and, you know, the rectifier is at the other end. If it's appropriately situated, you have a nice voltage point, it rectifies, and you know the rest. And that's pretty much what you've been experiencing with them. So that's something to think about. In any case, this has been a nice net. It will be an interesting radio to see with that, and maybe we can compare other radios as well. Keep in mind that, you know, one need not spend $6,000 to get elements of the performance that you're looking for specific functions. In other words, you might get enough performance of the type you need without all the other bells and whistles. A K2 very often will outperform even a Pro 3, depending on, again, what you're trying to accomplish. In other cases, something like a K3 might outperform a Pro 3, and for specific things, it might outperform 7700, but only time will tell. It's not how you build it. If you purpose-built something for a given game, then you can probably save some money and get what you need in the way of performance out of it. Fundamental difference between a Pro 3 and a 7800 or 7700 is that the Pro 3 has a 15 kilohertz roofing filter at 60 megahertz, and the 7700 and the 7800 have your choice of 15, 6, or 3 kilohertz. No one's answered the question, by the way, whether you can take the 3 kilohertz, 60 megahertz roofing filter from either of those two radios and put it into your Pro 3. But let's just say you have no bandwidth, or no wideband requirement for your Pro 3. One would ask the question, why can't I take out the 15 kilohertz filter and put in a 3 kilohertz filter? Wouldn't that be interesting? Anyway, on that pleasant note, I will thank KO2OW for his wonderful question and J1W for his suggestions, KO2OK for his discussions of power, solving silly stuff, his amplifier, and the like, and the telephone dilemma, NS2K for providing the AB4OJ, website. That's for those who want to know anything ICOM, repeater, science, out.
repeater. Reset. Thank you.
Oops, how far did I go?
Something about, and for anything, something or other, and you cut out. I can't remember what you were saying.
Sorry. Yeah, I was wondering when that would finally happen. I'll have to watch the clock more carefully. I apologize. For anything ICOM, please check AB4OJ.com, Alpha Bravo 4 Oscar Juliet.com, and you'll find all sorts of good stuff. I was just thanking everybody for their contributions tonight. KO2W for his question about his antenna and the GFI issue, and J1W for his willingness to, in the future, work on the K2 presentation. KO2OK for his suggestions for Billy and also his RFI/amplifier saga for 6 meters. S2K for providing the Alpha Bravo 4 Oscar Juliet email to everyone. And then to OEL for checking in and also letting us know about that he had a good time, I sense anyway, at the Red Cross dinner. And thank you for representing the club at that. At this point, I would like to thank everyone for checking into the net and remind everybody that Saturday morning is the Barra Hamfest at Westwood High School. Westwood High School is in Washington Township. And talking will be available, I believe, on this repeater, and if not, certainly five. Well, actually, I don't know what talking is. I'm assuming this repeater and maybe a simplex. So, any last days before I call it up, call it a quits? This is K2BAR.
KO2, okay.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, talk-in will be here. I think I'm doing it starting around 5:30, and also listening once in a while on Simplex. And I'll be noting that we can't turn off the tone for this repeater, so I'll be mentioning that as well, that I need a tone here, or I'll try and listen on Simplex. Good evening. KO2, okay.
Okay, depending on what time it is, I might be able to help you with the Simplex stuff if you want. Or are you operating from home?
No, I'll be there. You know, so I can reach the repeater no problem with an HT, and I'll also have my 706 in the car and be going back to the car every now and then, and then transmitting on Simplex with, I don't know, what is it, 50 watts with a 5/8 wave on the end car, and I get some decent coverage.
Okay, if you want, I have a gain vertical on my tower, which I can crank up in 2 minutes, and I have a piece of coax that's ready to go. So if you would like, you can operate from your car, my antenna, or my car, whatever you want to do. No problem. KO2OK. Thank you very much for that clarification. So 146.52 or 146.79 with a PL on 141.3. Anything else for the net before we close K2BAR? Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to also remind everyone that this net is courtesy of the Burton County FM Association, and that we encourage our members to join the Burton County FM Association to at least support the repeaters, which they graciously make available to us. At this time, the net will be closed, and see you Saturday morning, bright and early, Washington Township, Westwood High School. T2BR closed, net is secure.